I see a couple of liars out there. I see patience, and I see a porter. I see live loose. I see, what else? No good, enmity. What am I seeing? I'm seeing some of you are just startled. Henry, I know you are. But it's all the little ones that had a part in the play in the last two nights in the Pilgrim's Progress play, which was very excellently and well done. And we want to thank you, children, and everyone else who had a part in it. It was very encouraging and always instructive and a good reminder of the gospel and the way that leads to life. I was thinking about it much as I was thinking about Proverbs chapter 4. It would seem that Bunyan would have a field day with this proverb, but I want us to consider it. Proverbs chapter 4. And I know that you kids are not Mr. Liar and Live Loose, Mr. Pick Think, and all the various character actors out here. Proverbs chapter 4, let's pray. Father, we pray that indeed a joyful duty would be our sacrifice of praise, that we would love you as our Redeemer, but that we would love you as well as our Lord and King, and that, Lord, as we would get the benefits and receive the benefits of your sacrifice, that we might willingly give our lives to your lordship, for you are worthy indeed. Oh, Father, thank you for calling us into your kingdom and out of the darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you for covering us with a garment of salvation. Lord, thank you for making us the sons and daughters of light. Oh, Father, may we walk in the light as Christ is in the light, and Lord, as you are light, in whom there is no darkness. Father, we thank you for the Word of God always. We thank you for it in its Old Testament revelation and in the New. We thank you for the full revelation that we have. We ask that you will help us again to profit from your truth. Father, we need your wisdom. Father, we know that the beginning of wisdom is to seek it, and so we seek it. We would be wise, not with the wisdom of the world, but with that wisdom that is from above. The wisdom that is found in your truth, the wisdom that is found in your Son, the wisdom that is granted by your Spirit. Lord God, help us to profit, help us to grow in our knowledge and our appreciation of wisdom and your word. Oh Lord God, help me to speak and each of us to learn and grow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I hear a little tiny creature. That's little Dylan James. Okay. That's a little baby D saying Papa. If you don't recognize that sound, I can hear that. Papa, Papa. It's a little baby D. He's getting transferred out of the sanctuary now. Poor little guy. It just ever happens. Every time he acknowledges Papa, out he goes. He won't like me someday, you know. But it is a joy to have the little stink bugs in here. Proverbs chapter 4, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching, do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget, do not nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. And we'll just stop right there. I want to consider all of Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. It might be rather ambitious and we'll find out, but I want to just to kind of keep it all together if I can and just simply give it to us at one setting. If you look at this this proverb, and if you have it is way in my Bible divided by its paragraphs, there are three fatherly appeals here. Earnest fatherly appeals. The first one begins in verse 1, the second one begins in verse 10, and the third appeal begins in verse 20. And you see it each time. Hear, O sons. the instruction of a father. Hear my son and accept my sayings. Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. The scripture is helpful. It just breaks it out for us that we have these fatherly appeals. They're marked by just tender, entreaty, earnest exhortation. And look at the nature of the exhortation just to understand where this Proverbs is going. Verse 1, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father and give or pay attention. That's the burden. Notice in verse 10, hear my son and accept or receive my sayings. And just a little bit farther on in verse 13, take hold of instruction, do not let go. Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. And what the father is asking, what the parent is desiring, is not just simply that you just hear it, not just simply that it just goes in one ear and out the other, but the idea of paying attention, giving heed, and receiving it is heeding it, taking it, thinking about it, and doing what the father or the parent appeals to. That's just simply what it is. It's taking it to heart and doing it. In fact, look at verse 4. That's the writer here, whoever the father is, he said, this is what my father taught me. This is what your grandfather said to me. Then he taught me, he said, when I was a son to my father, verse 3, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother. This is, in other words, he says, what I'm doing with you, my daddy did with me. And we're just passing on these things that are so important. But this is what my father said, your grandfather said. He said, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Notice, so it's listen, pay attention. But there's also kind of a negative thing here too. I want you to receive it, but look at again at some of the do nots. Verse 2. Do not abandon my instruction. And then it goes on again. Verse 5. Do not forget. Do not turn away. You see it again in, up on other portions of this whole scripture where it just talks about in verse 13, do not let it go. Take a hold of this instruction, but do not let it go. Verse 21, do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And then the question might be, why in the world? Why in the world should I listen? Why in the world should I hold on to it so hard? Why should I be so tenacious about what you want me to hear? And so the father also gives encouragement about it. Why should I listen? Why should I pay attention? Why should I obey you? Look what the father says in verse 2. I give you sound teaching. I give you good teaching. Look what the grandfather says in verse 4. He says, you hold them fast because you will live. You will live. Look at verse 10, the counsel of the parent there. It says, listen, you listen to me, you pay attention to me, and the years of your life will be many. And in verse 22, the young person is encouraged to keep the words and sayings of the parent, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. You know what parents sometimes say? Don't your parents sometimes say this? Why don't you listen? It's for your own good. It's really good for you, and that's why they're saying these things. That's why you ought to listen. It is good for your soul. It is for life. Real life. Not just simply being, but the life that God intended you to live is what your parents are seeking to impart to you, the way of wisdom. And all of this, see, this is the wonderful thing. All of this comes out of a love and concern for the welfare of this young person. Whoever this speaker is, loves the person they're speaking to. They really care for them. The best place to learn about wisdom is not from Pastor Anderson. The best place to learn wisdom is in your own home. It's the best place to learn it is from those people that you know have loved you and sacrificed and cared for you all your days. That's the best place to learn of wisdom. That's the natural place. The parent who has natural affection for you and you who have natural affection for them. And I've told parents before as I sought to instruct them that one of the best leverage, the best lever that God has given you for the instruction of your parents is the leverage of natural affection. Your children naturally do love you. Take advantage of that natural love and pry wisdom into their minds and hearts. And this is, notice, parents, in a sense, it doesn't say it, but that is our responsibility. It is to pass wisdom on. It's your opportunity but it is your responsibility. But kids, listen. It's your responsibility to listen. It's your responsibility to receive what your parents tell you. And that's what this whole proverb is about. What parents are to pass down is the wisdom of God, the wisdom that is from God, the wisdom that leads to salvation in God through faith in Christ. That's what parents are to be about, is setting forth that good wisdom. And what you have to do, if you just want to kind of just get it into this thing, and this is what the proverb writer does. You don't like it when your parents do it, but here's the Word of God doing this. Listen, listen, listen. Pay attention, receive it, for it's for your good. And that's what he's doing here, three times. These are good appeals to make, parents, these three fatherly appeals. And these are good appeals to take to heart, young people. And so I want to look at these three appeals. I'm just going to take them in kind of a general way. Parents, these are good appeals to make. Young people, these are good appeals to take to heart. Okay, so here's the first one. It's in verses 1 through 9. Here's the first appeal. It's this. Get wisdom. Get with all you're getting wisdom. And I want to just skip right to the very heart of it. It's in verse 7. Verse 7 is really the heart of the appeal. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. With all your getting, I like that, and I think some older versions do that. With all your getting, get understanding. If there's anything you're going to get in life, get this, get wisdom. And you begin to be wise when you begin to seek wisdom as the primary goal and prize of your life. When wisdom is prized, and when you start to go after her as the chief prize of your life, then you are beginning to be wise. And this is what you're to go after. This is the burden of this particular parent here. It is that you would begin to prize her, begin to pursue her, begin to think above that if there's anything that you want in life, it is to be wise with the wisdom of God that comes out of His Word. Remember in the earlier Proverbs chapter 1, it talks about the fool. And you remember the fool's attitude toward wisdom? He despises it. He hates it. He's hateful with regard to it. I don't want wisdom. I'm not interested in wisdom. But the wise man, you begin to be wise when you say, I want to be wise. You begin to be wise when you say, wisdom is something that I ought to go after. And when you begin to do that, then it says you are beginning. And this is the whole burden. Go after her. Get her with all you're getting. Wisdom is the greatest possession that anybody can have. And we have told you where before wisdom can be found. Where can wisdom be found? Wisdom can be found here. Wisdom can be found as your parents open up that word. Wisdom can be found in Christ Jesus Himself, who is wisdom. Go after Christ. Go after His Word, because all of it's near to you. It's that close. It's as close as your little eyes and your mind getting into the Scriptures and saying, God, will you make me wise when I come to my Bible? Will you help me even when my dad opens his mouth, or my mama opens her mouth, or my Sunday school teacher opens their mouth, or anybody else does, out of the Word of God, that my little ear is just going to be greedy for wisdom. With anything that I'm going to get, it's not the new bicycle, it's not the toolbox, it's not the new bionicle, it's not the new doll, it's not the new whatever, it's wisdom that I want more than anything else. Kids, you are wise when that's what you want more than anything else. The wisdom. Seek it, get it. And notice, wisdom is going to be, you treat her nice. It uses a personification, Jason. Personification is taking that abstract principle and turning it into a human entity. Wisdom is turned into a lovely lady. And it says, you go after that lovely lady and you treat that lovely lady right. That lovely lady is going to treat you right. Notice, don't forsake her. Don't turn your back on her, because she will guard you. You may think that she's kind of a weak lady, but she's not. She's got strength. She's got good eyes. She'll be able to take care of you. Love her. Love her, love wisdom, love the Word, love Christ, love the instruction that comes from your parents. And notice this, she will watch over you. You get the benefit of her. She will embrace you. She will care for you. Prize her, verse 8.
Exalt her, esteem her, and she'll lift you up. She will honor you if you embrace her. Wisdom is interested, you see, that you won't be left empty-handed. She's the best find of anything that you can find, young people. And notice what she will do. She will place on your head a garland of grace. What she will do is you seek wisdom and you'll find the favor of God. You will find the grace of God being poured out in your life. Wisdom is that one who bestows grace upon our life. She will present you with a crown of beauty. She will bestow a beauty on her possessors. This is what wisdom does. So that's it. That's the first thing. Get wisdom. It's very simple. And that's what your parents want more than anything else. I hope that's what you want for your kids. Think about it, folks. Just what are you really wanting your children to go after? Good SATs? That's a big thing. That's not the issue. That's really not what you ought to say. Maybe a football scholarship to Rutgers or Louisville. Yeah? No? Maybe it's money. Maybe it's just a great, good-paying job. That's what you ought to go after. Or maybe it's just fame. I just want you to be famous. I just want you to be someone people know. No, I want you to just be talented. I want you to be able to play that instrument and everything else. And so nothing's wrong with all of those things, but there is something awfully wrong if those things are set up as the main prize of the life that you're trying to direct your children to, or the prize that you're setting your children for. What you want to set before them as the thing to be prized and gone after and pursued more than anything else is the wisdom that is found in God's Word and Son. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom with all you're getting. Some of the versions say this is the primary thing instead of saying the beginning of wisdom is, or the primary thing, the principal thing, the foundational thing for life is to go get wisdom. That's what Solomon sought as he began to become the king. The very first thing that he sought, and in seeking it, he was very wise. And so parents, that's what you're to do. I hope that's what you're putting in their minds. I hope that's what they seek to prize. And young people, what are you going after? What's the prize of your life? Zach, what's the prize of your life? To be a shortstop for the Dodgers? Okay, good. I hope, Leslie, is it to be on the pep team for Buena High? I don't know. No, I hope it's wisdom. Christian, I hope it's wisdom. I hope that whatever you want, that all of those kind, Megan, I hope it's wisdom that you seek after. I mean, I know there's a lot of delightful things in this world, but I hope it's wisdom that you go after. Well, let's go in the second place. Let's look at the second appeal. I'm being kind of simple, I think, but hopefully if we keep it simple, we'll all get it. The second appeal is this. Don't get off the path of wisdom. Don't get off the path of wisdom. This is verses 10 through 19. This father says, as he opens up his appeal for his children, his sons, to listen to him, he says, I've directed you, verse 11, in the way of wisdom. I have led you an upright path. That's a good thing. Parents, we ought to lead them. Not just simply by what we say, but by what we do. We ought to show what a wise life entails. We ought to show by our own lives that we prize wisdom above all things, that we are hungry and thirsty for wisdom, and that we're walking in that way. I have taught you, I have led you. And he says, when you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. You see, it's not enough to let them know how precious wisdom is, but we have to direct them. We've got to give them insight. We ourselves have to open it up and tell them, what is the way of wisdom? What is the way that leads to life? What is it that God delights in? What is His pleasure and will? And this is what we need to do. And even as we talked about this morning, it's considering what's pleasing to God. It's considering His will. It's relying upon His grace and Spirit. And all of that we must set before them. It's the way that's taken in dependence upon God's Spirit. It's a way, it's a path, as the Father says, that avoids stumbling. But notice where he goes. There is a path you have to make sure you don't get on. There's a bad path. And that starts in verse 14, and it's kind of amazing. If you just kind of read over it fast, but as I was reading it, it just stuck in my face kind of as I was hearing it. There's all this incredible collection of commands. Look at this. Do not enter. Do not proceed. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it. Pass on.
Now, do you think maybe I ought to take a little tiny step there?
Do not enter. Do not proceed. Avoid. Pass. Do not pass by. Turn away. Pass on.
I thought about it, and every kind of word is this blink, 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 a blinking light, as it were, those warning lights at the end of some kind of high mountain road that where the side had just fallen off. Do not get near there. The ground is about to give way. Some of us who ride our bike up Wheeler Canyon, we saw that during after the floods. The road just kind of gave way, and there was just those little, no blinking lights, but just some red lines. Don't even get close to that side. I don't want to fall in and off. I've fallen too many times. It's an inside joke, Henry. I've just been in a lot of wreck. But it's like alarm bells. Every one of these commands is an alarm bell not to get off of the way from which your parents have directed you and led you by their own example. Do not enter. That is, just stay away. To enter there is to begin to depart from the way of life. It is to begin to depart from the living God. Don't even enter. Don't think of entering there. That's the whole idea. Don't proceed any further. The farther you go, the worse it gets. You'll go into a box canyon, that is one that closes up, and you can't get out. Don't keep going there. Don't step in there and don't keep going there. That's what it's telling us to do. It says avoid it. Avoid it like the plague. Avoid it like radioactive fallout. Avoid it like a terrorist hideout. Don't take the dare. Be a holy coward where evil and the way of the wicked is concerned. Avoid it. Avoid it with all you're avoiding. Notice it says, don't pass by it. Don't even get close enough to see it, smell it, or hear it. Don't be curious at all about it. Avoid it. Everything, every command is just saying, listen, it's not just simply arm's length. It's not even just simply kind of getting close to the edge. It's just getting as far away from the edge of evil and wickedness as you can get. Turn away from it. It's an iceberg that's going to bring your ship down. It's a storm that will rip the rings off of your little tiny airplane. It's a little Venus flytrap that will eat you alive. You got all those pictures? It's kind of like, if I can give you some kind of idea about this, and I think I've used this illustration before, but it's the way I think about sin and evil, or the way I ought to think about it, is that every time when you're flying an airplane, just a little light airplane, the thing that at least I was always terrified of, were those cumulonimbus clouds. And they are those things that just kind of on warm summer days, just those clouds just kind of roll clear up into the stratosphere, and then they just kind of just spread out on the top, you know, that anvil top. And in the midst of that thing are updrafts that are incredible. I take my little airplane into that thing, and I'm just like a little Kleenex getting thrown around. A Kleenex in a hurricane. And so what they advise you to do in flight school is don't get near them. I took it to heart. Every time I saw a new cumulonimbus cloud, I went 100 miles around that cell. There was no way. I didn't even want to feel the slightest little updraft, the slightest little breeze kind of moving that airplane toward that awful thing. And in a certain sense, that's what it's saying here. The Father is saying, don't you get near sin. Don't you think your little engine is going to help you bear through it. You steer far, far away. The path of wisdom is not to see how strong I can be in the face of temptation. The path of wisdom is to pray this, Lord, lead me
not into temptation at all. Don't give me those occasions when I'm going to feel my own soul tugging away from a path of righteousness and wisdom. I don't want to get close. I don't want to see how sanctified I am. In fact, if I'm really sanctified, I'm going to get as far away from sin as I can. The sanctified man does not play with sin. The sanctified man is scared to death of sin, and so is the sanctified child. The way of wisdom is to back off, get away, turn away from it, pass on, get away, don't linger, don't hesitate, play no games with it or them, flee as fast as your feet can fly. That's what it's saying here. Do you get the drift? Don't play with it. Sin will be like a little siren voice. It will be like the painted woman. It'll be like the harlot. It will offer kinds of things that will kind of entreat you just to get a little close, to get a sniff, to get a sight, to get some kind of sense. But listen, this is what the Father is saying is don't you get near it. Don't you even enter into it. Trifling and playing with sin and temptation is deadly. And every compromise we make with sin allows it to get its little grip on us. If we think we can resist sin if we've yielded to its first inclinations, we're fools. If we think that we can kind of just play with sin and kind of play its game, there is no way we can do that. Sin cannot be toyed with and played with. None but a fool thinks he can later overcome what he yields to at its very first offers. You see, don't see how far you can test your resolve by playing with sin. Sin loves the test and trial. Sin loves you to try. And sin will take advantage of you. You're not prepared for it. And basically that's what it says. Nobody's prepared for the strength of sin. Wisdom fears sin and takes the widest path around. And notice how it warns us here. Notice what happened, you see? Notice, because it says, they cannot sleep unless they do evil. You know, who are its captives? It's these people, the people that can't sleep. The people who can't sleep because they're now so bound in evil, that's all that they can do. That they cannot sleep unless they do evil. They are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. They eat, drink, and sleep wickedness. That's all they can do. They're caught up. They're bound in it. They're addicted to it. They're captive to it. They're restless in it. You get into the path of wisdom, and do not be surprised if you who at one time would just mock and be fearful of those things are eating, drinking, and sleeping. If that's what it says, it will get a grab on you. Do not toy with it. That's what wisdom is crying here. You'll get sucked in. You put a toe in that way, and don't be surprised if it's got your whole leg and your whole body and your whole life someday. And maybe if you just even think about it, kids, and maybe you can ask your parents, are you aware of someone who just in a gave the awful and sad testimony of just kind of trifling and playing just a little bit with sin and what happened to them and how it just took them. It's awful, you see, and this is what wisdom is telling us. Don't put a toe there. Don't let a thought wander there. Don't toy at all with it. And notice he begins to just give us the difference between the way of life and the way of death, verses 18 and 19. He just wants to kind of just set it in their minds. And I want it to be set in your minds. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. But the way of the wicked is like darkness. It's night and day. It's night and day. If you are in the path of wisdom, what is going to happen is you will begin to be wiser. The knowledge that you have will increase. The love that you will have will increase. The grace that you have will increase. The wisdom that you have will increase. And the strength that you have will increase. The glory that God gives will increase. It is a path. It is an ascending path. It is a glorious path. It's a bright path. It's a path that leads to the full day of the revelation of God and Christ in His glory. It's a more and more path. More and more grace, more and more wisdom, more and more strength, more and more glory, more and more faith, more and more conformity to Christ. It's all of those things. It's a glorious ascending path. It's just the very nature of what the path of the righteous is like, the path of wisdom. But notice the way of the wicked is like darkness. It doesn't say increasing darkness, because if something's dark, it's dark. It's as dark as it can be. And those in darkness live in darkness. They live in ignorance. They don't even know over what they stumble. They're breaking the law of God. They're heaping wrath upon their heads. They're stumbling over even the Son of God who Himself could save them. And they don't even know it. And they're just doing the deeds of darkness. They love the darkness. They won't come to the light because they don't want their darkness exposed. They're bound under the prince of darkness into the domain of darkness. And they will end in darkness. There's no light. There's no light at the end of the tunnel of darkness and the way of the wicked. This is an awful way. And basically what he says is don't get in that way. Parents, a good appeal always sets before your children the way of light and the way of darkness. Wise parents will always tell their children there is a way that leads to life and there is a way that leads to death. Wise parents will always tell their children that there is a broad road that leads to destruction and there is a narrow way that leads to life. Wise parents will tell their children that narrow is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life and broad is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Wise parents will tell their children that many are on the path of destruction, but few there are that find the way of life. Wise parents will set those things before their children and tell them that over the gate that leads to death is written, anything goes, do what you want. Wise parents will tell their children that the way of life says, Jesus, I am the way, follow me. And beloved, we need to set before our children those ways. We've got to let them know that just simply it is the difference between light and darkness, life and death. This is what life is about. It's very sobering. It's very sobering. And children, I appeal to you. As Jesus says, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become children of light. I am the light of the world, Christ said. And he who believes in me will have life. See, believe in the Son. Take the Son. Whoever follows me, Jesus says, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The gospel comes. And Paul's commission is this, I have sent you to the Gentiles that you may deliver them from the domain of darkness, that they might be receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance of the saints in light. Walk in the light. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord and bear the fruit of light, which is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Well, finally, the last appeal is in verses 20 and 27. This is the third appeal, and maybe I could say it this way. We said, get wisdom. We said, don't get out of the way. And this one, I probably would just say this, get a grip on yourself. Get a grip on yourself. Verses 20 through 27. He set a very earnest foundation there in verses 20 through 21. Again, just listen to me, listen to me. Incline your ear, bend yourself. Don't let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Treasure the very things that I say. And he encouraged them because these are life to you. These are health to your whole body. Your whole soul's welfare hangs on it. But then he gives these pointed directives that are expressed in terms of the body parts. The heart, the mouth, the eyes, and the feet. And these become very practical, very focused application. It's toward a personal discipline in the way of wisdom. It's in a sense, go get wisdom, go after wisdom. Don't get away from the way of wisdom. Do not step in the wrong path. But now the direction seems to be all with regard to ourselves. Get a grip on yourself. Watch yourself, not just simply the way, watch yourself. And notice, this is where it goes here. He talks, first of all, of that discipline of the heart. And young people, if there's any verse that you would put in your heart, I would encourage you to put this verse, 4:23, in your heart. Because it is such an important verse. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. What your heart is, you are. What your heart goes after, you go after. Whatever marks your heart marks you. Notice it says, from it flow the springs of life. The heart is where all your life begins. It's the fountain of your life. It's the reservoir of your life. Can you imagine some city that all of a sudden when people open up their taps and all of a sudden this brackish brown, ugly, greasy water comes out of your tap. You say, you know what we need to do is let's check the tap. Well, there's nothing wrong with the tap. Let's check the lines. There's nothing wrong with the lines. And we trace it all the way back to the reservoir. And we say, that's the problem. It's not in the lines. It's not in the tap. It's in the reservoir. We're not going to do any good by changing the lines or the tap if the reservoir is polluted. And everything that will come out of the tap, out of the mouth, out of the life, is grounded in the reservoir, which our heart is. It's not the lub-dub organ that's beating in our body. It's really what we might call our personality, our central disposition, what we are, what we really are, our inner you that makes us tick. That's what it is. If the heart is wrong, nothing else can ever be right. It says, watch over your heart. Watch over it like Brittany has to watch over little baby D. He's got legs now at 2 years old, almost 2 years old. And man, it's busy, isn't it? It's active. You'd just like to be able to sit down as a parent. You moms that have these little two-year-olds know, boy, would it be great just to be able to sit down. But they're going all over the place. And in a certain sense, prone to wander. Lord, I know it. Prone to leave the Lord I love. Our hearts got legs. And in a certain sense, we've got to watch where they go and what they're going after. We've got to be diligent like a parent over that little heart that if it's going to go into the street or it's going to go pick up something that's pretty bad for it. Heart, what are you holding today? What in the world is in your hand? Well, I've got a little bit of pride. I've got a little bit of jealousy. I've got a little bit of resentment. A little bit of anger. I've got a little bit of covetousness. I've got a lot of foul things. Get them out. Get them out of there. That's what you would do. Heart, where have you been going? Where have you played today? Well, I've played in the world and I've played over here. Heart, stay right here. Stay focused. Heart, what are you doing? How are you doing? Well, I'm not doing too well. I don't feel too good. When I come and read my Bible, I don't seem to have all of the heart that I used to. When I sing the songs, I don't have the heart. Heart, where are you going? What's going on? We've got to know the heart. We've got to watch the heart. We've got to keep the heart with all diligence. You've got to do that. I don't like to do that. You got to do that. But we've got to think about our hearts. And I did a whole sermon on that, so I'm not going to rehearse it. We could, but I'm not. Watch over your heart with all diligence. It determines and influences all that you do. Whatever your heart is full of, that's what your life is going to be full of. Wherever your heart is wandering, that's where you're going to go. If your heart is eager about the things of God, if your heart is hankering after Jesus, if your heart is loving the Word of God, that's where you are. Your heart shows it all. Second, notice what else he says. This is the counsel of the good Father. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Don't be Mr. Liar. Put away from you devious lips. In other words, now it says, watch over how you talk. Watch your speech. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for encouragement, for edification, that it may give grace in the time of need. That's the kind of conversation that we ought to have. The scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever the heart is full of, so will our conversation be full of. If our hearts are full of God and full of Christ and full of His mercy and full of His grace, then so will our conversation be full of love and grace and kindness in Christ. The best prayer is that of David in Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Watch your mouth. Watch your conversation. The Lord says, by your words you shall be justified and by your words you'll be condemned. Your conversation, you will stand and fall on the last day, or you can on the very basis of the way you speak. God doesn't have to look into your heart. All God has to do is just listen to your conversation. And Jesus says in Matthew 12, you'll be justified, you'll be acquitted, or you'll be condemned on that day, just simply by the very conversation of your life, because there's such a connection between the heart and the mouth. Watch your mouth. Notice verse 25, watch your eyes. There's a personal discipline. I just simply call this our focus. Watch what you're focusing on. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your eyelids literally be fixed straight in front of you. This is a right concentration. I ought to be focused on the right thing, because if you're not focused on the right thing, you're always going to go in the wrong way. There's missionary pilots, and one of the things that they're instructed is when they land at these jungle strips, these wooded jungle strips where it's just simply been cleared out and there's a lot of stumps on the side. They're always told that when you land that airplane, you look just right down the center of that runway. You do not look to that obstacle there or that stump over there that's really close. Because invariably a pilot, if he's got his focus, not on the center of the runway, but on that little stump or that little obstacle there, invariably he takes the plane into the stump and into the obstacle. You've got to be focused and you've got to be centered. It's where is the focus? Where is the concentration of your life? Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, setting our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Our eyes have to be focused on Christ himself. He's got to be the focus, the pole star. No side glances, no looking off this way. All of a sudden, I'm just, if you're driving a car and you take a kind of a side glance, you better be careful if the guy in front of you doesn't hit his brakes. You're going to keep your eyes focused. You've got to be going ahead. You don't want to get off into bypath meadows over here. You don't want to get off on that other side. No longing look at the things by the side. I've got to focus. And young people, it says, let your focus, let your eyes be set straight ahead. Onward, upward, heavenward is a good motto. And then fourth, notice it says in verses 26 and 27, watch your feet. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. It's just simply this. Don't be careless the way you live life. Be careful about the way you live life. Think. Your parents will say this. Think about what you're doing. Think about what you're about to do. Think about where this is going to lead you. Think about what's going to be the consequences of this. Think about if it's going down this path or this path. Think about it, whether you will be better or worse for this. Think about those things. It says, ponder your steps. Consider your steps. Be careful about your life and about where you're going. Consider where those steps are going to take you. Think about that. Think about it before you do it. Commit it to God before you do it. And that is what we need to do with regard to the course of our life. Don't forsake. Listen, if there's a doubtful command in the Word of God and you've got a clear command in the Word of God, then go after the clear command. Take steps on the basis of the clear revelation of God's Word. Estimate every step you take. Judge every step you take this way. Will it be in conformity to the will of God? Is this where God would want me to go? Is this going to please Him, this step, and where it's going to take me? Don't take a step without God. Inquire of Him. Seek His face. Live in that constant dependency that marked chapter 3, and that trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. That's the way to walk. Acknowledging Him in all your ways. Lord, help me. Lord, guide me. Lord, I think this is the clear way. It seems that Your Word and Your will would give me warrant to go this way. I'm going in dependency. I'm going in trust. I'm going in faith. I'm going without anxiety. And Lord, You will just direct my steps. Parents, as you think of your children, as you seek to appeal to your children, appeal to them in their whole lives. Don't just simply just address the issues of maybe the way they cut their hair or the way they wear their clothes. I had to go through all those things as a parent, and it's an arduous kind of thing. But that's not the issue. The issue is not that. The issue is, where's your heart? The issue is, do you listen to what you're saying? The issue is, what is the focus of your life? The issue is, are you thinking of your life and the steps you're taking in relationship to God? I'm not saying that there aren't rules and regulations and things that would be proper, but listen, these are the important things. Where's your heart? What is your mouth full of? What are you focused and concentrating on, and are you careful about your life? Encourage their focus. Appeal to their hearts. Encourage them. And young people, living a wise and good life is never automatic, and it's not easy. It isn't easy to watch your heart. It's a hard thing. We don't like to do it. Even big people don't like to watch their hearts. Big people don't like self-examination. Older people don't want to kind of bring it to the throne of grace and say, Lord, you search me and you know me. You see if there be any wicked way in me. Oh, we hate that. We hate to be exposed, but we need to be exposed. And you've got to come in humility and say, oh, Lord, let me know. Show me my heart. Show me my... Is it rooted? Is it anchored? Is it fixed on Jesus Christ? Am I just simply playing games? Am I simply trying to appear to be what I'm really not, a Christian? Is my soul anchored and rooted in Jesus Christ? Do I have a heart for God? Do I have a heart for His will? Do I have a heart for His people? Do I have a heart for His word? Do I have a heart for His glory? And do I have a heart for His coming? Where's my heart? And what is my mouth filled with? Let me listen to my conversation. Let me remember it at the end of my days. And let me hear if there's any grace in it, any kindness in it, any Christ in it, any kingdom in it, any hope in it. Let me examine my focus and let me think, where have my eyes been? Not just simply my eyeballs, but the focus of my mind. Where have my steps been taking me? Have I at one time walked with the righteous and walked in the way of wisdom? And now am I just simply now beginning to put my toe in the way that leads to death and destruction? Think about those things. Parents, encourage your children about those things. These are the appeals that the righteous make. And this is the appeal, the appeal of a father to his children. Young people, I pray that you will get wisdom, and with all the things that you get, you will get wisdom. I pray that you will not get in that way that leads to destruction, and that you will be keepers and guarders of your mouth, your hearts, your feet, and your eyes. Let us pray. Oh, our Father in heaven, how can we appeal enough? Lord, we love our children. Lord, we love the young people of our congregation. We delight in them and they are a joy to us. And so we understand the earnestness and the entreaty of the appeal that the Father makes in the Proverbs. Lord, it is natural to us to desire and care for them and their ultimate spiritual welfare. And Lord, we feel often that we cannot appeal enough. God, give us wisdom in our appeals. Give us grace in our appeals. God, give us the ability to back our appeals with a life that is marked by an example of our own hearts kept, our own eyes concentrated, our own feet in the way. Oh Lord, our own mouths kept from deception and crookedness. Oh Lord God, enable us to so magnify Jesus Christ in our own life and the joy of Christ that we can appeal to them to embrace Him, who is wisdom indeed, who is life indeed, who will guard them and keep them, embrace them, exalt them, put a garland of grace upon their heads and crown them with beauty in the last day, who will lead them in the path of increasing glory to the full day of His manifestation. O Lord God, who will give them a good heart, who will give them a clear eye, who will give them a sweet mouth, and Lord, who will keep their steps until the end. Well, Father, we desire that because You desire it. And Lord, we ask that You will give us the grace to appeal and to appeal as we ought. Lord, that You will give the grace to our young people and the children here, the dear children, that, Lord, they would receive the instruction and that they would be wise. In Jesus' name, amen.